Hey y'all, this is Pastor Steve Berger. Welcome to Courageous Conversations, where we tackle tough issues in the church, government, and culture. All right, so here we are, Heaven Part 5. Has anybody been happy talking about heaven? I hope so. It's been great. Good to see it. So as I prayed tonight, we're going to talk about being sinless in heaven, okay? So I'm just letting the cat out of the bag right there. Going to be sinless in heaven. I might actually even call this tonight, Let's Get Real. Let's get real. And let's get real about sin. Let's get real with sin in your life. Let's get real with sin in my life. You know, I've said jokingly over the years, if I knew how much sin was in all y'all's life, I wouldn't even want you coming here. But if you knew how much sin was in my life, you wouldn't listen. Let's get real. All of us have varying levels and degrees of sin in our life. The scripture couldn't be clearer, okay? Now, this is a huge topic, and I don't want to introduce things that could be confusing in the minute without unpacking it enough. But, you know, there's things that we know that are absolutely sin, and they're sin for all of us. But, you know, there's other things that are sin for you uniquely. There's things that God has uniquely told you, hey, this is off limits for you. And it might not be off limits to the person next to you. These are matters of conscience where God knows you uniquely, and he's saying, hey, this isn't a good thing for you to do. And so it's not good for you to do. And for you to then do it would be sin for you. Might not be sin for me. And so when we're talking about sin in the different ways, for the pastor to stand up and say, oh my gosh, I've got sin in my life, and if you knew how much sin was in my life, you wouldn't listen to a word that I have to say. You need to understand that those might be things that you go, well, Pastor Steve, if that's sin, I'm really in trouble. They might be sin for me and not for you. And likewise, I just want to pay attention to that. Because in the midst of us talking about what's real and what goes on inside of us, you may find yourself sharing what's a sin for you and something you're battling with and fighting the good fight of faith with, where someone else looks at you and goes, really? And what I don't want you to do is get sidetracked from the fact that God told you it's sin for you. Well, it's not sin for them, so it must not be sin for me. No. If it's sin for you, it's sin for you. Now, you can't impose that on other people, right? Which is another thing that we like to do. So we just have to acknowledge that all of us have sin in our lives. We all have varying degrees of sin. We all have different types of sin. We can't be condemning one another over our different areas of sin. There are things uniquely that are sin for all of us. I can't say, well, you know, I have total peace about murdering someone. No, that's sin for all of us. Well, I have total peace about being prejudiced or hateful or whatever. No, that's sin for all of us. But there's other issues that are matters of conscience that we also need to pay attention to for our own selves and for our own spiritual growth. You make sure that you go to bed at night with a clear slate before God, okay? So, gonna talk about it. Sinless in heaven, but let's get real while we're here on earth, all right? So again, just to be clear on who is sin and what sin does, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, very famous passage of scripture. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So if we say we have no sin, if we say we're not sinning and we say that we never have sinned, it's a problem. But the fact is we've all sinned. The question is, what do we do with it while we're here on earth? We can make excuses for it. Well, everybody sins and everybody's gonna sin, and so that's just what we do, and we give ourselves then license to sin further. Or we can do what the scripture says, which is confess our sins, repent of our sins. And then in doing that, that's where the cleansing flow happens. That's where the blood of Jesus comes into our life and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's where the sanctifying grace of God, the growing in holiness happens. This might surprise you. One of the main talking points in our study this morning that was brought up by a congressman. He said, Steve, I'm getting so tired of pastors not talking about sanctification, especially in the evangelical world. A congressman is telling me this. In the evangelical world, we do such a good job of talking about justification by faith alone. In other words, we're only right with God through our own faith, not our own works to clean ourselves up, to make ourselves right with God. No, no, no. We're justified by faith alone. Where are the people who are simultaneously saying, but we need to walk in obedience, confess our sins, grow in holiness, and then live a more sanctified life? Powerful stuff, important stuff. What do you do? What do I do when we sin here on earth? And you're like, Steve, I thought we were gonna talk about being sinless in heaven. Don't get into my personal life now. Listen, y'all, we're only going to appreciate this message today if we're even people who recognize sin in our own life, who battle sin in our own life, who become victorious over sin in our own life, who sometimes lose in our own life. We're only going to appreciate this message of being sinless in heaven if we understand what it is to battle sin here on earth. If the sin you commit doesn't bother you, if it doesn't break your heart, if it doesn't produce something in you that makes you want to go, you know what? God, I've got to run to the grace of God and confess and be right with him because I can't stand not being in right relationship with him. If your sin doesn't bother you here on earth, you're not going to appreciate the fact that we're sinless in heaven. But if you go, wait a minute, Pastor Steve, you're telling me that when we get there, I'm not going to have to battle temptation anymore? I'm not gonna have to battle the junk that I battle in my life day in and day out. I'm bombarded with sin, with the temptation of sin. I see it everywhere I look. You mean I'm not gonna have to do that in heaven ever one time? Absolutely. I got one amen. Thank you, sister. Yeah. Then we appreciate it. Could you imagine what it's going to be like to not even have to sin, to not even face the temptation to sin? We can't even fathom it, right? How can you even try to imagine something that you can't even comprehend? What kind of freedom, what kind of joy, what kind of exuberance, what kind of worship that will produce? No wonder worship is loud in heaven. People understand, I'm not sinning anymore. And it's all because of the grace of God that he created a place where sin has been cast out forever. I'll take that all day long. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth isn't in us, but if we confess our sins here and now, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All is a really big word, and it's three letters. All unrighteousness. What falls in the category of all? All. Convincing some people who have sinned really big sins that the grace of God is there for them, it's a massive job for a pastor to do. People who really mess their lives up, who really, really have blown it, to let them know all includes their sin. Really good news. Now, again, the danger comes when we try to give ourselves permission or license to continue sinning because everybody sins. That's not the issue here. We're not giving people license. We're just acknowledging what the scripture says, okay? So let's move on here. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. I'm going to ask you the question, have you ever felt like this in your life? This is the Apostle Paul writing this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good? He said, I can't find it. For the good that I will to do, I don't do. But the evil that I will not to do, he goes, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, he said, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me, or I would say in our flesh. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to my inward man, according to my spiritual man. But I see another law in my body, in my members, that wars against the law of my mind. And it brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, listen, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, it seems I serve the law of sin. Does anybody in the room tonight relate with the fact that what I want to do, I don't do? Yes. Good, of course. I mean, not all the time, every time, but can anybody relate with, I'm going to read my Bible every day and finish the whole thing in 1 year. I will to do that. I want to do that. But I'm done January 7th. My great reading through the Bible in 1 year was like, it lasted a week. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to share the gospel with some. The will to do these things. And Paul says, even in his own life, the things that I will to do, it seems like I don't do them. And the things that I tell myself, I'm not going to do this anymore. No more road rage in traffic. Dude, you're flipping someone off 10 minutes later and honking your horn with Praise Jesus bumper sticker on your car. Not a good witness. That's why I don't have Christian bumper stickers on my car. Not that I flip people off, but been known to be upset with people who drive 50 miles an hour in the fast lane. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the things I do want to do, those are the things that I don't do. And Paul says, in my mind, I love the law of God. I love the will of God and the word of God, the plan of God. I love all of that. But there's something that wars against me. There's a battle that I'm fighting continually, because even though in my mind and my spirit I want to do the right thing, my flesh, where sin dwells, in my flesh, in my old nature, in my old man, it is warring against me constantly. And Paul's saying, what I'm finding myself doing again is stuff I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I end up not doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this battle? You know who delivers you from the battle? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, how does he deliver us and when does he deliver us? How he delivers you is by cleansing you and forgiving you, by speaking to you, by sanctifying you and growing you up in holiness, by dealing with your mind about how destructive sinful patterns are. This is how he delivers you. And so here on this earth, beloved, we are being delivered. But what you need to know is full deliverance. I wish I had some better news for you. Full deliverance isn't going to come till we get to heaven. So as sanctified and holy and awesome as you are right now, 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry, you're going to say, if you continue with Jesus, you're going to say, dang, I thought I was pretty good back then. But I was still a mess. but I'm not as much of a mess as I was. See, that's how this thing works. We're going to be delivered ultimately from this body of sin and death. We're going to be delivered in totality when we get to heaven, but we're going to have to fight it off while we're here on earth, okay? So let's now get into this issue of heaven and proving this gloriously good news that we'll be sinless in heaven. Let's jump way forward in human life and existence to heaven in the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. Now, we've read this for other issues, but we need to read it for this issue tonight about sinlessness. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Pay attention to that. Nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things, the old things from earth have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, he said to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I am absolutely convinced that the Lord spoke these words. Write, for these words are true and faithful, because John was thinking, this sounds too good to be true. He's saying, I need you to write it down. Tell it to the people. So typically we talk about no more death, sorrow, crying, etc. But what we don't do too often is think about, okay? Death, friends, is the result of what? Sin. So if there's no more death, we would rightly conclude there is no more sin. Romans 6:23, right? The wages of sin is death. What we earn for sin is death. And because there's no more dying, there is no more sin. I love this. Since death is the byproduct of sin, and there will be no more death, again, we rightly conclude that there will be no more sin. Hallelujah. Paul goes into deeper depths here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about sin, death, and our new bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Look at this. Behold, he said, I'm telling you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep or all going to die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead, look at this, will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal body must do what? Put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades or grave or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sin and corruption, decay of our body, the wages that we earn by committing sin, all of these things are gone. Our new heavenly bodies never die because there is no sin or corruption or mortality that exists in our new bodies. Jesus Christ has defeated the sting of death for every single one of us in heaven forever. Someone should be excited about that. Hallelujah. We have victory over sin now to a degree, but it will be fully realized in heaven forever, okay? These words, corruptible and incorruptible, mortal and immortality, they speak to us about the stark difference between our two life existences here on earth or later in heaven. Right now, corruptible. That which decays and deteriorates, That which falls apart and falls to pieces and falls for temptation and falls for sin, and we pay the price in our body because of it. Yeah, corruptible. But incorruptible is coming. Incorruptible is coming. Mortal, limited, dying, decaying, sinful, tempted. One day, it's gonna put on immortality. I know we're gonna recognize one another in heaven, but there's something about going from corruption to incorruption and mortal to immortal where I think we're almost gonna look at each other and go, bro, you've never looked this good in your life. And someone else is gonna look back at you and say, you've never looked this good. Because there is a grace and a freedom and a glory that comes from going from corruption to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal, sinless in heaven. No more death, no more decay. None of it doesn't exist there. I love it. Paul Helm. I love this quote from Paul Helm. He said, the freedom of heaven is the freedom from sin. Listen to this. Not that the believer just happens to be free from sin, but that he is so constituted, he said, or reconstituted, that he cannot sin. He doesn't want to sin, and he doesn't even want to sin. So reconstituted. So remade, so reborn, if you will, given every new resource of an incorruptible, immortal body, that sin is something that is so foreign to us and we are so free from it that not only will we not sin, not only will we not want to sin, we won't even want to sin. Man, that sounds really good if you battle sin now. But if you don't care about it now, didn't matter to you whether you sin, break God's law, break God's heart. If that didn't matter to you right now, this word doesn't matter to you. But if you find yourself like Paul going, golly, I said I would never do it again. And I'm so tired of this, Lord. I'm so tired of being sorry again. If you find yourself in that place, this message is really good news. If you're like sin light, that it's not that big a deal because everybody does it and God expects us to do it, listen, I can't wait for the day when I will no longer have to endure the enemy's accusation, his condemnation, because I am imperfect. I will be grateful for the day when, although God doesn't want me to, I find myself beating myself up about my own sin. Steve, again? Really? You've been following Jesus for 40 years. Shouldn't you be past that by now? You're still in the mud puddle, man. You're still in the sandbox. Still fooling around with cat turds in there. Shouldn't you be past that by now? Yeah. And thank God, most days I am. But for the days that I'm not, I can't wait to be free from it. I can't wait to be free from it. And that day's coming. And because I know that that day's coming, it helps me endure right now. I'm not what I'm going to be. stick. I'm not what I used to be. This is grace. This is sanctification. This is God being so good to us that when we confess and repent, when he cleanses, he removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west and throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. It's the devil who reminds us of our sin and our failure. It's us cooperating with the devil who reminds us of our sin and our failure. It's God who cleanses and forgives and removes and forgets. That's what he does now. Imagine when it's not even something we have to deal with. Glory to God, that sounds good to me. Romans 8, 23 and 24. Paul says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption, the freedom from slavery and sin slavery of our body, for we're saved in this hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? What's the point here? This passage of scripture has been used for so many different topics because it's just pregnant with all of these different topics. But one of the topics in this passage is that when we're groaning, when we can't even pray because we don't know what to say again over our sinful, fully unredeemed bodies, that when we can't formulate words over our disgust and our dissatisfaction with our own selves, when our prayer is, the Spirit understands. When our prayer can't even formulate a word or a sentence to describe what's going on inside, the Spirit makes intercession to God. He mentions a few verses later, the Spirit makes intercession for us with these words that can't even be described or defined. Oh, no. You know, some of the prayers that you all have prayed, some of the prayers that I've prayed, the most important ones, the most powerful ones, the most sincere, the most transparent, don't even have words attached to them. And some of our prayers that are so great and grand, God's going, save it, kid. He's looking for those that are defined by us going, again, yeah. But our hope is coming in the fact that we're going to be fully redeemed, free from sin and death for all eternity. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived the lost people was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That sounds good to me. Completely separated from heaven and its holy inhabitants, the redeemed of the Lord. Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire with burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All manner of sinning Christ rejectors join Satan and all of his demonic horde in the lake of fire forever, separated eternally from the redeemed of the Lord in heaven. Revelation 21:27, but there shall by no means enter it, the holy city, heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. No one or nothing enters heaven that is sin-related in any way. Revelation 22:15, but outside heaven, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Friends, four times in the last three chapters of the Bible, it is made very clear that sin and unrepentant sinners have no part in heaven. Their portion is the lake of fire. That's the degree of separation there is in heaven between the saint and the sinner and the Savior and Satan. Totally separated forever. And so, beloved, tonight, the bad news is you're going to keep sinning until you enter heaven. But when you get there, it's all going to be done and over forever. And so that should motivate us to continue on seeking God, letting God clean us up day by day, confession after confession, repentance after repentance. Sin doesn't have the final word over any of y'all. In a practical sense today or an eternal sense later. Let me close with this. In the ancient book known as Dante's Inferno, written in the 1300s, he gives his definition of what he thinks hell is going to be like, the nine circles, the nine depths of hell. But what he says, warns every single person at the gates, every single person who's going to enter into hell itself over the arch of the gate. Abandon all hope, you who enter in. Abandon all hope. Listen to me. Hell is forever. And it is forever. I'm convinced the number one thing in hell is regret. I could have said yes. I could have been forgiven. I could be walking in freedom. And now I'm in torment forever. Regret is the number one thing in hell. I'm convinced of it. Hell is only and always sin and death and decay and torment and murder and rape and thievery. It is always and only the complete and utter absence of a good and holy God. Heaven is always and only holiness, freedom, life, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is only and always purity, goodness, kindness. It is always and only the presence of God. And so if there was a banner unfurled over the gates of heaven, it would say, enter into the fullness of hope for all eternity. And God says to humanity, make your choice. Abandon all hope, you who enter in. You want hell? God loves you so much, he gave you free choice to choose it if you want it. You want heaven? God loves you so much, he gave you the choice to choose him, to choose Jesus, to choose a life that struggles against sin now, yes, but will be free for all eternity later. Gives you the choice. This isn't complicated. Which one do you want? Heaven or hell? God or Satan? Sinlessness or sinfulness? Judgment, torment, peace, joy. I'm not the smartest person in the room, but that's not a hard decision for me to make at all. At all. Well, let's stand and pray together tonight, beloved. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the hopeful message of sinless in heaven forever. Lord, may you put that in front of our eyes when we are struggling and battling everything that the world is constantly jamming down our throats, telling us to participate in, telling us to compromise over. Lord, when we're sick and tired, beating ourselves up because we did that thing again when we promised we never would. Lord, would you remind us to run to the mercy seat of God, to confess, to repent, to receive cleansing from all unrighteousness, to get up and to start over again, because your mercies are new every morning. Glory to God. Lord, help us walk in greater levels of holiness all the time. By your grace, by your mercy, and by your goodness. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your kindness toward us that allows us to repent and be cleansed. May we be a people who give ourselves to that over and over and over again as need be. We love you for it tonight, Lord. Thank you for sinlessness in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here tonight. You've got good news.